Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 75 are Eric Anderson.
Hello, everybody.
Don Donfris.
How you doing, everybody?
And Adam Dale.
Good evening, y'all.
And tonight, we're going to be continuing our Hidden Gems of Walt Disney World series, this time focusing on the Epcot area. But before we get there, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys. Fairytale Journeys is an authorized Disney travel planner, and they'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation. Just check out their website at fairytalejourneys.com. Okay, now, guys, before we start talking specifically about the Epcot area, I do feel like we should at least define our terms a little bit. Because, you know, when we talk about hidden gems and that's going to be the, you know, the topic of what we're discussing today, we're not just talking about your favorite thing about Epcot or your favorite things about Epcot area resorts, right? We're looking for something a little more than that.
To me, it's more things that aren't necessarily the most popular things out there, but they're worthwhile or, you know, things to see or watch or participate in.
Sure, sure. I know, Eric, you were saying something?
I was just going to say, I guess La Cava del Tequila is not a hidden gem, even though it is a little tucked away, but I think everybody should know about it at this point, right?
I think that that's probably fair. So the idea here is again, that we're talking about things that you might overlook, you know, things that aren't going to jump out at you on the park map, but are unique and interesting experiences that are worth seeking out. I think that's really kind of the key.
It might be things that, you know, are common knowledge, but looking at them from a different point of view.
Exactly. Yes, that's true, too. And so I think, why don't you go ahead and get us started with one of your favorite Epcot area hidden gems.
I don't know how hidden this is, but it's something that we kind of stumbled upon on our last trip, and that was at the Morocco Pavilion, asking one of the cast members there about a Moroccan tour. And they are very happy to take you through the whole Moroccan Pavilion and explain different things, explain their culture, and go into just lavish detail about everything about the pavilion and about everything about their culture and the way things are presented there. We found it just incredibly interesting, and it was just full of things that we'd never thought about and never had anybody take that much time to go through and basically walk you through the pavilion and walk you through all the things that are going on. And they just were very happy and honored that you asked.
Yeah, that's a great point to make. I mean, you know, on the one hand, everybody knows you can kind of go up to cast members in the various countries of World Showcase and, you know, kind of greet them in their native language or get them to, you know, give you an autograph and a little sentence or something in their language. But, you know, this really takes it to the next level and gives these cast members, many of whom are guests of Walt Disney World, for lack of a better way to put it, from their home countries. You know, they're a lot of the younger folks often are on the international college program, or they're taking a couple of years off from a career in their home country to work at Walt Disney World, and they're really excited to share information about home. And Morocco is I think a really good example of that, because it's such a detailed pavilion that there's a lot for them to share.
That's an awesome thing. I never even knew that. That you could do something like that there. That's really interesting. I definitely have to look into it the next time we go, for sure.
Well, we found out about it just on happenstance, just talking to one of the cast members, and she said, "Would you like a tour of our country?" And we were kind of taken back, and then we got to talking about it, and she's like, "This is something, you know," explained that this is something that we do if you ask. And it was a good 15, 20 minutes of wandering through the pavilion and having things explained and answering questions and telling us things about things that had gone on there that just really weren't, you know, you don't see them written in the books. You don't see them people talking about. It was just a very different experience.
Sure. Sure. All right. Well, Don, why don't you give us the next thing that maybe we didn't know about? Maybe you'll give somebody else something to think about on their next vacation.
One of our favorite things, and I know this isn't necessarily just about favorite things, but this is something that we really enjoy is seeing the entertainment, like the World Showcase players or some of the other small shows that they put on in the different pavilions that are, in some cases, reflect on that country, or sometimes like in like the World Showcase Theater. I mean, that's not necessarily just from England or whatever, but sometimes in Italy, they'll have the guys in they're dressed in masks and they kind of pantomime through like a play. They used to have the moving statues. All those small entertainment things that you kind of have to look for. I mean, I know they publish them and stuff like that, but you know, they don't do them way out in the middle of the street. You know, it's usually off in a corner, and you know, we really enjoy going to those. You know, have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, I mean, there are some really great examples of you know, entertainment that is live entertainment from the various countries that you know, reflects their culture in some way or another, or you know, gives you a little bit extra flavor. And certainly there are some great examples. The World Showcase Players, I think, is an example that is frequently overlooked because they don't have a big stage or a separate location marked for them. But you know, they're worth keeping an eye out for over near the UK Pavilion.
Yeah, they're definitely one of our favorites. Been picked to go in or to participate in those on a couple occasions, and it's usually a good time.
All right, so that would bring us around to Eric. Eric, what's a hidden gem that you would like our listeners to know about?
Well, going back to Adams, actually, the entire pavilion for Morocco is, I think, whether you have a tour guide or not, is a worthwhile place to spend some time. It's the only pavilion at Epcot that's actually sponsored by the country. So artisans from Morocco came over to actually build the installation there. And so you'll see some amazing tile work there, woodwork. And if you wander back off the off-world showcase a little bit, it just seems to go back pretty far into these little twists and turns, little shops, having different merchandise, but also having a lot of interesting crafts from the country. Like I mentioned, the tile works, you'll see woodworks, sort of a typical Moroccan house demonstrated back there. Just a lot of really interesting things, and it's really a form of cultural outreach in a way that most of the other countries aren't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of the reasons that they do such a nice job with those tours, because it really is, you know, home for them, and they feel like they're showing off a little bit. And, you know, one of the things that I like about Morocco, as long as we keep coming back to it, is that, you know, tour guide or not, and spending some time there, once you start wandering kind of back in the you know, sort of the backside of the pavilion, you know, as you kind of walk through there deeper, it's kind of nice and shaded, and sometimes you get a little bit of a breeze through there. And on a hot day, it can really be nice and relaxing just on that backside of the Morocco Pavilion, because there's some, like I said, there's some shade, there's some breeze, and it's just fun to wander around and look at.
And not very crowded.
Yes, yes.
Also, all the partitions
right. kind of help. I agree. Okay, so let's bounce back around to Adam. And Adam, do you have another Epcot hidden gem to share?
Well, this one, I don't know how hidden it is, and they're not always working. But the trash cans outside, is it the electric umbrella? They moved them sometimes. you throw your trash in there, and they speak to you every once in a while, like somebody's inside the can. Not quite like Push over in Magic Kingdom, but then you also have the water fountains, not the spraying fountains, but the actual drinking fountains there. we didn't play with these the last time we were there, so I don't remember. But the first time, I got my kids to go up to them and whatever, and it's like somebody's inside the fountain working, or they're having a convention. I think they make a comment about being a plumber's convention, or, hey, watch what you're doing there as you try to get water or take a drink out of the fountain. We didn't stop by there. It was pretty crowded the last trip we were down, so I didn't take time to play there. But those are just as you come back towards World Showcase there outside the restrooms.
Okay.
But they, you bend over, take a drink, or you go to fill your water bottle up, and they'll start talking to you. And it's kind of random when they do it, but it seems to be sort of an automated, there's nobody controlling it. It just sort of happens when it happens. But it's neat. It's funny. It adds a little, and if you catch it, and especially if a young kid's going up to it, they kind of get puzzled and kind of look around the fountain for a little bit to see what's going on.
Yeah, that's I think it's hidden just because it's hidden because it doesn't, first of all, you're right, it doesn't happen every time, and you really do have to kind of seek it out. You've got to look for it to find it. And it's not a destination attraction, but it certainly can, you know, make your day to stumble across it. So how about you, Don? What else do you have for us?
One of the things that we really love to do at Epcot is after Illuminations. Now, I know sometimes with younger kids or whatever, are exhausted and want to fly out of there as soon as Illuminations is over. But if you have the energy and you want to hold back and just kind of take your time walking out after that, and we'll kind of set ourselves up near England or Italy, and from that point walk forward, you know, to the front of the park and just take our time. And because of the big rush to get out of there before that, after that, it's like you almost had the place almost to yourself. And it's really quiet and it's really softly lit, and the music's still going from, you can hear some of the Illuminations, like background music. There's been a couple, when Naya was very young one night when we did this, she danced out of the park almost the whole way from the back to the front, you know, because there was nobody around, and she's just kind of running around and dancing around. And I mean, it was the most relaxing evening. Pretty very nice, and it was something that we really enjoy. We try to do that at least once every trip. We will make sure we hang back and just kind of really take our time strolling out of there, and it's well worth not rushing out of there to get involved in all the traffic to get out of there.
Well, that's a great example of, you know, perspective giving you access to a hidden gem, because in that case, it's the entire park. It's Epcot that's the hidden gem. And you're right, you know, you can rush out and get yourself into the midst of the cattle drive, trying to, you know, squeeze through the exit. Or you can hang back a little bit, you can let the crowd clear, and this whole new world of the park opens up for you. It's the flip side to the early morning ADR, except it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, most of the shops are still open. So you could just, you know, take your time wandering out. We've been back there for 45 minutes, you know, and you get to the front of the park and, you know, almost nobody's there. And it's just amazing. You know, it's really a whole different feel for how you're in the park.
I was going to say, we did that the last couple of trips, and it's been close to an hour to a little over an hour, and nobody was trying to run us out. We were just taking our time and wandering around and looking, and had a lot of great photo opportunities.
Yeah.
And actually, we've kind of done that. I know this is Epcot, but we've actually sort of done that in all the parks. Instead of trying to run out as soon as, quote, the park's closed, just take our time.
Yeah, it works especially well in Epcot, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why. You know, World Showcase has all those restaurants, many of which will take, you know, reservations as late as, you know, 8 or 8:30 at night. And so even if the park closes at 9, they fully expect that there are going to be people filtering out of the park for another hour and a half or so because they've been in the restaurants until, you know, 9 o'clock, 9:30. So you've got stores that stay open a little later. You know, I think the cast is less cast members are in less of a hurry to get you moving out of the park. And I've heard stories, you know, Len Testa was talking recently on one of his Disney Dish podcasts about, you know, doing a late dinner at the new Monsieur Paul restaurant. And, you know, by the time they finally got out the front of the park, like all of the buses were gone and there were, you know, three cast members with vans arguing about who was going to give them a ride to Animal Kingdom. but the fact is that there will always be another ride, and they really do make sure that there's transportation available, you know, whenever a guest finally does stumble out of Epcot.
Yeah.
All right. So Eric, what about you? What do you have for us?
I'm going to take us over to the, Japan Pavilion. Some of you may be familiar with the Mitsukoshi store. Yes. Some of you may have been dragged in there against your will at some point.
Look at this!
But I'm here to free you from that sense of dread that might occur by noting that there is a sake bar in the back of the store.
Woo!
Look all the way back. There is a little bar set up. You can get different varieties of sake. You can get plum wine if your tastes run a little sweeter. And it's a nice way to spend some time or, you know, get a beverage you can take around the store if others in your party are shopping. And it's actually as far back as you can go in the store. So it's a little bit out of the way, but it is a nice place to visit, especially if your idea of a good time is not shopping. I happen to like the store myself. However, I do like to carry a beverage around as I'm cruising the store.
Well, and that's another good example of taking advantage of, you know, a little hidden gem to give yourself a respite while the rest of the family does things that they want to do too, and everybody can enjoy it, you know? I mean, you can park yourself back at the sake bar and the kids can, you know, go crazy checking out the Pokemon section, right? And the Japanese candy section.
Yeah, absolutely. And in addition, and a bit less of a drinking theme, a little bit more of an edutainment theme, there's a little, it's almost like a little museum off to the side of Mitsukoshi.
Yes.
That has exhibits that they rotate every so often. But it involves Japanese culture. And I think the last one that I saw in there was something about the beast spirits and sort of the way traditional Japanese folklore has been translated into some of the anime.
Okay.
That's coming out of Japan.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting to walk around in there and take a look at everything. So that's a couple of sort of different things in the Japan Pavilion that are very close together but aren't on the beaten path.
Right.
Last time we were in there, the last time I was way back there, they had an exhibit on tin toys. All these different kind of like mechanical toys out of tin. So you kind of wound them up and they walked.
Oh, yeah. I think I actually got to spend a little bit of time in there and see that at one point. There were all the different wind-up toys, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool. So I have to ask, Eric, because I've seen the sake bar, but just haven't had the opportunity to spend any time back there. And you know that when, you know, my favorite things about the bars in Epcot is that you can usually find a flight. So can you get a sake flight?
You know, I can't recall off the top of my head. I'm sure they would be willing to sell you one of each of the things that they purvey there. But yeah, I can't remember if they have a flight or not, but
I'm bet they do.
All right, well,
it wouldn't surprise me.
I apparently have a mission now. I may have to be on the search of a sake flight. All right. So while I sit here pondering the sake flight, Adam, do you have another hidden gem for us?
I'm going to stick with my theme of things that are not quite so hidden, but you need to take them from all perspectives.
Okay.
And, everybody knows of the Voices of Liberty at the American Pavilion, but you need to take the time to go in, especially if you're celebrating something or have your celebration pins on. Usually the host cast member there welcoming will swiftly escort you off to the side to receive a special phone call and then whisk you upstairs to the balcony overlooking right up under the dome. And if you've never been up there and heard them sing from that perspective, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, they're amazing to begin with, but it's a whole different, almost moving emotional experience to hear them from that vantage point. It's absolutely beautiful.
Interesting. And see, this is one I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite, my wife's favorite things. So every trip, we always have to go listen to them.
If you're celebrating, make sure as you're walking in, the host cast member sees your celebrating button or sees your something. Every time we've gone in with our buttons on, we've got our special phone call, and we've been whisked upstairs.
Good to know. So
it may not always happen, but it's almost always happened to us that way. The only thing that you miss from doing that is that sometimes they're known to pull the kids in while they're singing and sing to them. They don't do that, if you're on the balcony.
Sure.
We have one of our favorite videos is from one of the twins' first visit, is where our littlest of the twins was pulled up into the audience and was sung to and serenaded by three of the gentlemen. And as she blushed and hammed it up, it was a great time. But if you've never stopped and heard the Voices of Liberty, please do that. It's amazing. And if you have, try to see if you can get on the balcony and hear them from that vantage point. It's amazing.
All right. Nice tip. Nice tip. All right. So, Don, it's your turn again. Do you have another hidden gem in the Epcot area for us?
Sure do. Another favorite quiet spot that's really spectacular is the gardens in Canada. They're off the backside. You can walk off the pathway to get to them, or you'll come in into them off from La Cellière. It's a kind of a replica of I think it's the Victorian Gardens. I can't remember if that's it or not. It's a kind of a reproduction of some famous gardens from Canada, and they're spectacular and great photo opportunities back there. Usually kind of quiet, not the big attraction of everything. And it's one of our favorite spots.
Yeah, again, that's another good example of, you know, taking advantage of 360 degrees of space, right? You know, everybody sees the front of the pavilion, but it's worth it to wander around the back. And especially, I think, at times when the park is really crowded or it's especially hot and busy, that's a great time to kind of loop around the back and enjoy the gardens. It's a way to kind of relax a little bit, deflate a little bit, get out of the intensity of a crowded park, and, you know, kind of re-energize to head back on to take on the, you know, line at Test Track.
Yeah, it's really, it's usually hardly anybody back there, and very quiet and restful. Got a little stream that kind of runs through it, so it's one of our favorite quiet spots for sure.
All right, well, that sounds good. All right, Eric, we're back around to you. Do you have another one for us?
Sure. This might be an odd one, but I'm going to say that the International Gateway entrance into Epcot is a hidden gem for me. I enjoy staying around the Epcot area for things like food and wine, or just stayed there at Beach Club for the Flower and Garden Festival a couple weeks ago. And just being able to get in and out of Epcot through that International Gateway entrance. They've got the huge big entrance up at the front with the monorail and with Spaceship Earth right there, and with the sometimes maddening route through all the you know, the stones up at the front.
Yes, the gravestones, as my daughter calls them.
Exactly. So you've got that entrance, but International Gateway is a lot smaller. It's a lot quieter. It's less of a hike in the hot sun if you're trying to get into or out of Epcot. And, for instance, get onto a boat to go over to Hollywood Studios, maybe. But I find coming in that entrance at just about any point in the day is preferable to coming in the other way. The one thing that they don't have right now is RFID readers over at that entrance.
Interesting.
But I expect that those will be coming at some point.
Yeah, you have to figure.
But just in terms of easy access, especially if you're in and out for things like food and wine, and you're staying in the Epcot Resort area, then it's a great way to get into and out of the park.
I was going to say, one thing you might mention is, because I know a lot of people, I've had people argue with me over this before, is that that entrance is open and accessible before World Showcase opens. Just when the park opens, they kind of have it roped off and let you escort you on up towards World Showcase, but you can get in that way even before, or you used to could.
You absolutely can. And the Les Halles, the Boulangerie Patisserie, reopened over in France, and you can actually get breakfast there now. So you can get into World Showcase over there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we did, and just go over there for breakfast, or like you were saying, walk all the way around to Future World if you want to go that way. And it's not a matter of being escorted. You can take your time, walk through the UK pavilion and the Canada pavilion, and take as much time as you want. Really, it's kind of the inverse of the late night walk out. But you can get in there as soon as the park opens. Absolutely.
Yeah, and while we're on the topic of the International Gateway and the resort area just outside the International Gateway, one sort of hidden gem, and I don't know if hidden gem is the right word for it. Maybe it is. Maybe it fits with the topic. But I know a lot of people struggle sometimes with, how do I get from one park to another? Right? I don't have my own car, and It's Disney transportation is great for getting me back and forth from a resort to a park, but how do I get park to park? Well, International Gateway is a great hidden gem for getting to or from Epcot and any other theme park, because you can hop a boat right near there to go over to Hollywood Studios if that's your other destination. You can get to Animal Kingdom, which is usually the hardest one to hop to, by heading to any of the resorts. Beach Club is probably the closest. It's right there just outside International Gateway, so go through Beach Club and get in their bus line, and that'll allow you to hop over to Animal Kingdom. And you can do the same thing going the other direction from Animal Kingdom to Epcot. Just get on like you're taking a bus back to your resort, pretend it's Beach Club, get off there, and it takes you right to the International Gateway. So it can really become the conduit to help you jump from park to park, even though you don't have a car. Because I hear complaints from people all the time that, we bought park hoppers, but we never used them because we couldn't figure out how to get from park to park. All right, well, why don't we kind of go around one more time here and just maybe try and do a little cleanup, if you've got a couple more, tips or tricks or hidden gems of this Epcot area that you'd like to share. So, Adam, why don't we give you the first shot here, and you can let us in on a couple more of your hidden gems if you've still got a couple more to go.
All right, I've actually got two things that are probably not hidden to you guys, but maybe folks listening will find humor in this or whatever. After we've all played today trying to wish Stuart happy birthday, I think we couldn't go amiss without mentioning the phone booths. I get tickled sitting in the park, entertaining myself sometimes when the kids want to do something else or whatever, just sitting on a bench or sitting on one of the planters, watching the phone booths and calling the phone booths and watching the people pick up the phones or stare at the phone and be vastly shocked that the phone's ringing in the phone booth. Maybe Aaron will post the phone numbers in the show notes so people can pick them up if they hear us talk about this. But we've sat for several minutes, you know, waiting on Illuminations to start or do something and played with the phone booths. It's quality entertainment if you want something to do to just watch people's reactions because people are funny.
Now, it's a great point, but we should add that we did learn today that at least for the time being right now, the phone boxes in the UK area are not running. They're down for some reason. I hear rumors that they may be getting some sort of a minor refurb, but they've been down for about a month, and they certainly weren't working today. Which we learned because we might as well fill people in a little bit who are confused. You know, one of our Diz Dads, Paul Lawson, lives in England, and his son Stuart is on the International College Program and happens to be working as a host at the Rose and Crown right now. And it just so happened that Stuart was stuck having to work on his birthday today. And so we Diz Dads felt like Stuart deserved to have a little magic himself on his birthday. And so we kind of divided up the entire time of Stuart's shift and found people to volunteer for half-hour slots. And, for Stuart's entire shift, we ended up having to call the phone booth in Canada because the ones in the UK weren't working. But we called the booth in Canada, and we would get guests to answer the phone, and we found people who were willing to go to the UK pavilion, go to Rose and Crown, ask for Stuart, and wish Stuart a happy birthday. So for his entire shift working at Rose and Crown today, he had random guests stopping in to wish him a happy birthday, sort of turning the cast member happy birthday when you're wearing your birthday pin on its head. So that was our fun with the phone booths at Epcot today.
That sounds awesome.
It's lots of fun. And I had one other thing that I wanted to
throw out
there. That if you've never done this, you should do it at least once. And this is for all the dads that love the 9-pound lemon. And the you should do the behind-the-scenes tour at least once. It's one of the cheapest tours in Walt Disney World. I want to say it's like $18 or so for an adult, $14 or so for a kid. You need to do it at least once. It's a whole different perspective on the whole living with the land and the whole land pavilion. You get a lot of information, and it's just really neat to be able to be up that close and see things and not be just whisked through in a ride vehicle.
That's a great point. And, you know, I know that people know about it because there are signs about it right there as you go into Living with the Land. But I think it's still a hidden gem because so many people walk right by and say, you know, maybe we'll do it next time. Or, gee, that might be interesting, but it's not on our touring plan. You're right. Just once, you know, put it on your plan. It's worth exploring.
Definitely.
All right, so Eric, why don't we bounce back over to you, and maybe you've got one or two more hidden gems to leave us with here.
Sure. I'm going to take us out of the park for a minute and into the Boardwalk Inn. If you want to stay in the area and get a really interesting room, in the Boardwalk Inn, rooms at least 5296 and 5298 have a really nice view of the Epcot fireworks, as well as if you lean over a little bit and look between a couple of buildings, you can also see wishes from those rooms. And they're garden view rooms, which at the Boardwalk Inn I think are better than the Boardwalk or Waterview rooms, just in terms of noise. But at least those two rooms, I know because I've been in both of them and have looked out off the balconies there. We'll give you an excellent view, and we ended up watching the Epcot 30th anniversary fireworks off our balcony in 5298, and it was great. You can't see the low level stuff, but you're up above the trees, up above the buildings. So anything that made it, you know, over the buildings in Epcot, you could see just fine. So that's one. So if you're looking for a place to stay, that's on the lower end of the cost scale at Boardwalk Inn, that would be my choice.
Okay.
And I already said that La Cava del Tequila is not a hidden gem, but one thing that might slip beneath people's notice is that if you can show them that you follow them on Twitter.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to talk about it if you didn't.
Yeah, the at Cava del Tequila. If you show them that you follow them on Twitter, you can get free chips and salsa. I think is their offer now. When you go in and have and sit down at La Cava del Tequila, and if you're Aaron, have a flight of tequila.
And in addition to having wonderful flights and the free chips, if you're a Twitter follower, they also usually have a tequila shot special if you're a Twitter follower. I think they have a dollar shot if you're can show them your Twitter follower. So they're into the social media thing at La Cava, and that's a good thing.
And we're very glad for it. Yes.
All right. Well, I want to toss out one more here because as long as we were talking about the Epcot area resorts too, I think that one of the hidden gems of the Epcot area outside of Epcot itself is the Cruise Cup Lounge in the Yacht Club Resort. I think a lot of people overlook it because it's kind of tucked away over there near where the Yachtsman Steakhouse is. And if you're not there to go to Yachtsman Steakhouse, you might not even know it existed. But it's worth a trip over there. It's a really nice, relaxed atmosphere. It's wood and brass and craftsman decor. Yeah, it's similar to the Yachtsman Steakhouse, but I think a little cozier, less formal. And, you know, service there is good. It's got a surprisingly good menu for a lounge. There are real meals there. I mean, crab cakes and pan-seared chicken breast, burgers, steaks. You know, you could get a meal there without a problem. That you don't need a reservation for it. It does get busy when people are waiting for reservations at Yachtsman, but it might be a good place to sneak out for a lunch or something like that, or maybe a late dinner. And like I said, if you weren't looking for it, you probably wouldn't know it was there. But it's worth going and looking for, which to me is sort of the definition of a hidden gem.
They also have TVs over there, so if you're trying to catch a sporting event, maybe, and you don't want to fight the crowd at the ESPN establishment down on the boardwalk, that's also a good place to just duck in for a little TV viewing.
Good point. Good point. You've heard our suggestions for hidden gems of the Epcot area. We'd love to hear from you. We're sure you've got some that we don't know about. You can email them to us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at DizDads Podcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And remember, brand new, remember to check your podcast feed for our new midweek dad show, Your Hump Day Disney Fix, with trip reports shared by your fellow DizDads every week, new one every Wednesday. But that's going to wrap us up for this DizDads Podcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Adam Dale.
See you guys.
Don Donfris.
Have a good night, everybody.
And Eric Anderson.
Brought to you
by everybody.
Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.